Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
We're wondering places. Later on in the message, I'm going to tell you how I was not doing well. And I got over some of it. And how we're working on it. But it's good to see y'all this morning. Y'all, we're gathered up. Not in any other name except for the name of Jesus. We're not gathered up in a political name. We're not gathered up in a denominational name. Hit it one more time. We're not gathered up in no political name. We're not gathered up in no national government country name. But we are gathered up in the name of Jesus today. Amen, amen. Thank you, that. Hey, I kind of like that. You need to stand there while I'm preaching. I can do this. And then we get a little
organ out there. Woo-hoo! So, since we are gathered up, thank you, Jim. I got to get a flow like this going. Since we are gathered up in the name of Jesus, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus, and we're just going to ask everybody here just to turn your mind to Him. Surrender right now your will and your mind to Him. You might say, John, that sounds creepy. I don't care. He's the God of gods. He's the King of kings. You can surrender to Him. I'm not asking you to surrender to anything less or anyone less than the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But give Him this time. When it's time to worship, sing from your heart to God. When it's time to pray, pray from your heart to God. Pray from the Spirit to God. When it's time to hear the Word, be open to God and how He might move. Because, y'all, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you and I. God has a purpose for His church. I got to say that for LG being here. He's listening for it. Now he can go to sleep the rest of the sermon. But I guarantee this. Y'all, I guarantee it. God's going to win. God is bigger. God loves you. These are things we can guarantee. And the closer you walk with God, the more you take on His likeness, the better this world will be, regardless of your circumstances. I'm going to tell you, God will give you a peace that surpasses understanding. God, through His Holy Spirit, at work in us, can make us victorious over everything. Y'all, and that doesn't mean always everything going our way. It means that even in the face of persecution or poverty or any other thing, that we actually can have peace with God. Okay, that's what we're looking for. God to have His way with us. God to have His way in His church. Let me pray for us and we'll get started. Lord God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to be gathered together. It's not as if this is Your house in which You dwell. It's simply Your house because You've given it to Your people so that we might meet and praise You. There's nothing special about this building but You, Lord. It's like there's nothing special about the preacher but You, Lord. By Your presence, by Your hand, by Your power, by Your Spirit, You inhabit the place and make it special. You inhabit the person and make them special. So, Father God, I pray that You would help us to set aside all our worries, from the mundane of what's going on for lunch to the globally catastrophic about what's going on in the world. You would help us to put it all aside and to worship You right now because You're worthy. Plus, You're in control, and we love You for it. We give You all the praise we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's worship God.
All right, let's start our worship with Psalm 107. Let's stand together. All right, let's read it together. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that He has redeemed them from the hand of the foe and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and His wonderful works for the human race. For He has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. Others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains. Because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High, He broke their spirits with hard labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His faithful love and His wonderful works for the human race. For He has broken down the bronze gates and cut through the iron bars.
If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. You've got pain. He's a pain taker. You've been lost. He's a way maker.
Be with him. Amen? That every one of us, we have. If you are saved, you've got a past where you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And I'm telling you, there's no better news than death doesn't stay dead. Amen? That Jesus, the symbol of our Christianity, we're thankful for what Jesus did on the cross, but the symbol of Christianity, every single Sunday until Jesus comes back and forevermore, is the empty tomb. Amen? And we are blessed that there is one name under heaven and earth by which men must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Like we said, we're gathered here in the name of Jesus, not any other name. And y'all just let that sink in. Man, we've already sang just the truth about who Jesus is and what makes Him stand apart. This morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, but we're not carrying on where we were in our series. This is kind of a standalone message. We're going to be in John chapter 16. We're going to look at that last verse, and then we're going to flip over to John Romans chapter 12. What my prayer has been for this message, and for y'all who are at Jesus Saves Row, you got to hear the first one. Then I got to share it Friday morning down in Winona at ProTurf, and then I've got to share it twice this morning at Camp McCain once, and then at the Foundry. And it's the same message. Y'all are going to get the church version, which is a little bit expanded upon than what we gave at the camp or in Winona. But y'all, the idea is this: for us living in times of trial, in weird times, it's about purposely putting your mind on Christ, getting a word from the one who has overcome the world, and being filled up with Him as opposed to being filled up by the tribulation, the troubles in the world. Okay? So, and I'm going to be kind of biographical. I'm going to tell a story on me in this time with the hopes that y'all will really like me. No, that's not it. In hopes that somewhere in there, me as a human being, y'all as human beings, you'll be able to relate. We'll be able to relate to each other and find in God a hope and a reason for going forward, for not degenerating into hate, darkness, or despair. Okay? And so that's what we're going to do. Listen to this verse, John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to bring a message from your word. An opportunity to look at you, the peace giver, the overcomer, and to receive a word from you, Lord. To hear from your word, something that's going to impact us and our humanity. There's not anybody here who doesn't bear the image of God, having been created by the Most High God. There's nobody anywhere in this world who's not afforded that dignity, because you are the one, the only creator of all of us. And Father, we live in a time where we struggle with one another. And Father, it's not news to you. It's not beyond you. And you've given us your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in Him, to pray in His name, to live and have His Spirit live in us. Father, would you help us? Help all of us. We give you all the praise. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this past couple weeks, really this whole year has been kind of strange. Okay? We started the new year, we had the President of the United States was impeached. All of a sudden then we had a virus that's come out that was novel, nobody knew about, and so we didn't know how to defend ourselves against it. So it led us into probably the biggest shutdown in our history. Coming out of that, we've had the murder in plain sight of a man in police custody. As a result of that, we had what started off as riots that have turned into protests. But the beginning of it, two dozen people have been killed protesting a man who was killed. In the last 2 weeks, as I watched things burn, and I watched a 21-year-old young man from Detroit, Michigan, was shot and killed at a protest by another protester. I've been trying to grapple with this in my mind. I don't know if y'all can relate to that. I've been trying to make sense of what I've been watching on CNN and what I've been watching on Fox News, what I've been watching on the other news outlets. Mainly those two, just kind of bouncing back and forth to get this side of the bad news and to get that side of the bad news. You know, and just struggling. Well, for the last, you know, week and a half, y'all have been so gracious to give Sarah and I time to celebrate our anniversary. We've been married for 20 years, which was, yeah, amen. We just youngins in that world, Dave and Helen Walters got 58 years in. Is it today? 58 years today. I thought Dave was saying he was 58 years old. I said, man, you're not looking good, bro. He says, no, we've been married 58 years. I said, then Helen's looking really good. Because you know what I'm saying? She made it through. But y'all gave us some time off. And in that time off, I just need to confess, I got out of my habit of being in the Word. I was in the Word infrequently. You know, I wasn't in the Word. God knows who I am, so He's given me the privilege of sharing the Word often. For the last 3 months, I've preached 6 days a week, every week. Just going and going. Guess what that means? That means I'm in the Word. Man, just keeping me in the Word. Well, when y'all gave me a break, what happened was I got out of the Word. What happened was, you know, all good stories happen. You know what happened was? What happened was I got out of the Word. And I started studying the world more than I was studying the Word. And let me tell you about what happened to me. Here I am. I've been a Christian for 26 years. I've been a full-time pastor in this church for 15 years. Man, I've had the privilege to study the Word of God deeply in a conservative seminary and learn the original languages that the Bible was translated from to get bearings and to get footing in the Word. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of who you are and how much training you have, if you're not getting in the Word, but you're getting into the world, you're going to look a lot more like the world than you are going to look like Jesus. There is no safe place, there is no safe, spiritually safe place or otherwise in this world where you can say, hey, I don't need the Word of God anymore. I don't need the leading of the Holy Spirit anymore. I got this. I've learned my lessons. I've been to Sunday school. I haven't been to VBS except for to teach it. But I've been there and I've done that. You would think I would be good to go. Like, just go on, young man. Do what's right in your own eyes. Can I tell you, what's right in my own eyes is wrong by the Word of God. And I don't know if I just needed to prove it, God just needed to prove it to me again, or if He did it for me that I might remind everybody. I have no idea, but I can tell you this. I need Jesus as much today as I ever did when I was a lost sinner. Y'all, and I'm not lost. I'm not saying I'm out of Christ. I'm just saying this. I realized how badly I need Him, because without Him, my thoughts, my human thoughts, my earthly, carnal, and I even think some demonic stuff influencing me. There's a little commercial. This Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll be going over the book of James. We'll be in chapter 3 talking about false wisdom. And y'all, I had a great example of it because it was popping up in my mind. I was fighting people on TV again. I ain't done that in 10 years. We got rid of the cable. You know, I heard somebody said this. They said, we pay through our tax, we pay the garbage guy, the garbage company, $30 to take our trash away. Then we pay the cable company $100 to bring it back in. Man, I'm sitting there going, I feel so dumb standing before you. It makes sense to me. My favorite song, my favorite Proverbs, Proverbs 30. And it says, I'm more stupid than any man. That's the way it starts off. And I'm sitting here with all that God's put in me, all that God invested in me. I felt myself, especially on the inside, being brought down to the lowest common level. Most base, hate-filled junk that I've ever been involved in. I realized it was still right there. It was ready to be tapped into. I was like, what in the world? Y'all, I've been on Facebook and doing Facebook stuff. I can't tell you how many people I fought against. People I know. People I love. People local. And I was... This is my phone. Anyway, imaginary phone. And I'm tapping it. Saying all this stuff. All this junk. Like, I'm so wise. Like, y'all, pause and listen to Big John because I'm going to settle this right now. Woo! You know what God did for a grace for me? He let me hit that backspace button. I didn't send out those hate-filled texts. I didn't fight with everybody. I didn't ask questions like, oh, you're saying this, but have you thought of this and have you thought about that? Because I'm going to tell you something. You want to know the difference between believing in God and being an atheist? Atheists are against everything. That's it. They don't stand for nothing. They're against it. People who believe in God are for God. See, we are for the kingdom of God. We are positive in nature. We have something to proclaim. A gospel, the truth, the word of God. We are for it. But man, I'll tell you, I was studying being against all these things, and all of a sudden I realized, why am I going to waste my breath, waste my typing on being against something when honestly that's not the nature of the kingdom I've been born back again into? You know, I've been born again. I don't need to fight this earthly fight. I need to proclaim a kingdom that will not end and a kingdom that will not fail. That's what I need to be doing. I need to be proclaiming a Savior. I need to be proclaiming and standing for the Son of God, not against my brother and sister in an earthly way. Whoo! But I had a whole lot of against in me. And I thought to myself, if I have all this against in me, all this hate and darkness, what about the rest of folks? So I just want to share that with you. I want to share how God helped me through the Word. One of the first words that came to mind was this first one, that the one we just read. It's John 16:33. He says, "These things I've spoke to you." Let's just start right there. "These things I spoke to you." When we think about Jesus, we ought to always put it in context. "These things I spoke to you." Where was he at when he said these words? "These things I spoke to you." Was he at the resort getting a pedicure while there was, you know, somebody massaging his calves and putting hot rocks on his shin bones? Was he getting, you know, was he sitting down at an expensive 5-course meal, just, you know, a steak, and then, you know, if I was going to pick the courses, it'd be steak, and then I'd have steak after that, dessert with some steak on it. You know what I'm saying? Was he there? Was he just having all his wants and desire? Was he looking forward when he said, "I speak these words to you, these words of peace and good cheer and overcoming"? Was he in a place of luxury? No. He was in a place hours away from being beaten, stomped, punched, beard ripped out, crown of thorns put on, whipped and whipped and whipped. That was 3 whips. He got 39. It would tire me out faking the amount of whips that he got. And then to die a death, crucifixion. You know, we get our word excruciating from the word crucifixion. X means out from, and crucifixion. In other words, when we say something is excruciatingly painful, that's a reference to the process of crucifixion. So when Jesus speaks these words of peace, and he speaks the words of good cheer and overcoming, let us remember that he was sitting on the eve of his death when he spoke it. Not a day away even, not 24 hours away, hours away. Y'all, it freaks me out just to live in a country going through the hemorrhaging that we're going through. Personally, I've had a great 2 weeks. I've been on vacation. My toes have been in the water, and my butt in the sand. But when I think about our country and our culture, it freaks me out. Okay? But when I think about Jesus, who is in a moment where he was facing his death, and yet he spoke peace and good cheer and overcoming. That's the kind of strength that I want. That's the kind of strength that I need. That's the kind of strength I do not have without Christ. I don't have it without him. So let's see what he said to him. I've already said the 3 things. Peace and good cheer and overcoming. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't just hand out peace and say, "Now go on, enjoy it." He actually infuses you with peace through his Holy Spirit. He actually brings you into his life, and he gives you peace that way. No Jesus, no peace. Man, that's it. And you can take that any way you want to spell no. Okay? Jesus is our source for peace. If we went to Colossians chapter 1, we don't have to, but just remember these verses. Colossians 1:19-20. It says, "Things on heaven and things on earth have been reconciled to God through the blood of his cross. It says, peace was made at the blood of his cross, by the blood of his cross. That's where peace is manufactured. Y'all, we need Jesus to have internal peace. When I found myself to be studying the world through Facebook and through television and not the Word, I found very quickly that peace was gone. Y'all, you ever hear of fight or flight? I had both going on simultaneously. I was going to fight while I flighted. I mean, I don't know. I had a system in my mind. What will it look like to fight? I had a system in my mind. What will it look like to flee? But you know what I didn't have when I was studying the Word? I didn't have the peace to say, you follow me, son. You know what? Christians aren't called to fight, and they're not called to flee. We're called to follow Jesus. That's what we're called to do. Amen. But in my mind, in my heart, all I had was the human options. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. And I couldn't find any peace. But when I started looking back at the Word, I started realizing, you know why I didn't have peace? Because I wasn't in it, man. I wasn't nourishing my soul in the Word of God. You know how a trial will tell kind of where you are? You know how pressure in your life will kind of squeeze out what's inside of you? Well, just watching this junk happen, it was squeezing out that I was malnourished, that I was sickly, that I was not in the Word like I needed to be in the Word. And it showed. It showed itself. I got mean and ugly in my brain against everybody. I mean, it was just ugly. But when I started getting back in the Word, I started settling. I started calming down, literally calming down. I prayed. I took some of the time we had on the trip after I started calming, and I just started praying. Imagine that. Having trouble, seeing troubles in the world, instead of getting mad, you pray. Who's that sound like? What about, you know, all of a sudden I started backing away. I stopped. I ain't going to tell you how often, you know, there's a little thing on your phone for y'all who have those phones, those crack phones. Not a cracked phone. But y'all know you get addicted to it. My hand is like this now, permanent. It's just like that. Monkey phone grip. It'll tell you how much you spend on each of your apps. It'll tell you how long the screen time has been. But I ain't going to tell you how much time, but I'm going to say my screen time got cut down 90% since coming to understand that I've been more in the world than I have been in the Word. Instead of, you know, last night I was watching some television, and for the first time, instead of just flipping between Fox and CNN, I watched Point Break with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, you know, which was just about bank robbers, and, you know, just stuff that's a little more mild and calming, you know. But I watched just had some, not that we ought to have dumb entertainment all the time, but I mean, I started reading more. I started getting in the Word more. I stopped provoking that flesh nature in me that wants to lash out or wants to run. And I did that by getting in the Word. Let me tell you, if you have peace on the outside, you can have good cheer on. If you have peace on the inside, rather, if you can have Jesus' peace on the inside, you can have good cheer on the outside. Good cheer is a smile. Not this. But this. Can I tell you something? Ordinarily, by God's design, I'm an optimistic person. I'm the kind of guy, when my team is playing, I'm going to watch to the very end because I don't care how many points they're down, I think they can win. Okay? You know how people get up fourth quarter, their team's losing, they get up out of the stands? You know, those are the fair-weathered fans or whatever. You know what I'm saying. They call themselves realists. But I've seen people come back. You know, I watch to the end. When I see bad things happen, I believe the best can come out of it. I know God can take everything, even bad things, and use them together for the good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So I'm going to hang out and stay to the end and be of good cheer and be optimistic. And even if my team loses, I'll say, you know, they can learn from a loss more than they can from a win. Matter of fact, when my football team loses, I always say this, well, they're a fifth quarter team. If it had gone one more time, they would have whooped y'all. I make excuses, you know, just anything to stay optimistic. I had to use that one when U of M played against Alabama and Mississippi State. I had to say, you know, we was a fifth quarter team. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. What does that say about optimism? Hey, people ask me, People ask me who's going to win the Super Bowl, and I'm telling you, if you know who I say every year, the Detroit Lions, and they look at me like, you're as dumb as a stump. One day it's going to be, but God made me to be optimistic, to be an encourager. But you know what I found? When I'm in the world, when I'm studying the world and not the Word, I become the opposite. I become sour-faced. I become a discourager. I get discouraged. I become a fighter or flighter. There's a natural tendency in my flesh to avoid pain and to quit things if they're too hard. And I promise, that's right what happens to me. If I'm not in the Word, I'm not even walking in the way I was created to be. Man, if I'm not feeding on the Word, I become somebody that y'all might not recognize. Somebody who I know from the old days. Somebody you all wouldn't like, and somebody who wouldn't like y'all. Somebody who I used to be until I was born again. It wasn't until I was born again that I started living the way God wanted me to be an optimistic encourager, not somebody who just quits and throws their hands up in despair and gets negative. I found myself being negative. Y'all know how I think. You know I said, there ain't no sense in being sour-faced on the road to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Jesus saved me. But I don't like none of you people. I don't like what's going on. All I'm doing is going to heaven, that's all. Man, that ain't right. You know, that's definitely not right for me. God might have made... Hey, I believe God has made some people sour-faced. Even after you're born again. I've met you. I ain't questioning your salvation. I'm just saying we ought not be on the same committee. Or maybe we should be. Some, even us out somewhere in the middle. But I know this. I wasn't of good cheer. Jesus said, in me you may have peace and be of good cheer. Man, not only did I had no peace on the inside and I didn't have good cheer on the outside. I had been totally hijacked. Taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker to be full of hate and foulness and discouragement. Last thing Jesus says here is, he says, be of good cheer. You might say, well, why? What's the point? Have you watched the news lately, Jesus? Hey, do you know what's going on? As a matter of fact, though, I know Jesus didn't say this to me audibly, but he's kind of like, hey, have you read my word lately about what I said things would happen in this world? It seems fairly like Jesus knew what was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, why should we have good cheer? How can we have peace in you? And he answers that by saying this, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Y'all, the victory, we just saying, the victory is not ours and ours alone. The victory is not with us, but it's in him. He is the victory. What did we say? Your name is? Let's do it again. Your name is?
Victory.
Woo! All praise will rise to Christ our King, because He overcame the world. He overcame the world, y'all. He overcame in 33 short years, 3 years of public ministry, He overcame. He overcame those who doubted who he was and made fun of him because of the way he was brought up. They said he was an illegitimate child. He was, you remember the scandal about, you know, I'm a virgin but I am pregnant, and you know, Joseph believed it because God came and told Joseph it was okay. But I reckon not many other people really believed that. How would you believe that if you was told that? Your fiance came to you pregnant and y'all hadn't been together and she says, oh, it was from God. You're like, I'll say, I ain't smart, but I ain't stupid neither. You know what I'm saying? Joseph was out of there. Joseph's going to be gone. And the Lord said, Joseph, stay. She's telling the truth. This is what you're going to name that child. And there was a special born. Name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sin. And who's his people? Hey, I'm going to tell you what the gospel tells us. It's everybody. You know, he walked there with the Jews. He came to the Jews first. His disciples were all Jews. But he told them, I have sheep and other flocks too. He said, there's going to be one shepherd and there's going to be one flock. One shepherd, one flock, all under Jesus' name. Isn't that right? So who's his people he came to save from their sins? all us. In Him, man, whoever believes. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. For the Jew first and the Greek also. But you know what that means? Everybody. Everybody. All us. So, right from his birth, people had something against him. And he lived, he grew up, he learned to trade. But we know this, that the religious leaders of the day hated him from the time he opened up his mouth. He started under a kind of, you know, scandalous or controversial preacher named John, who they called John the Baptizer. And he started his public ministry there. And John was so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, he pointed at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," pointed at Jesus and said, "There's the Son of God." And some of John's disciples who were listening, they followed Jesus. But you know what? They didn't like, the religious leaders didn't like John, so they didn't like Jesus either, right from the beginning of his ministry. So they doubted him. They persecuted him. They said that he was a devil. They came against him, and they always were questioning him. Why does he do this? Why does he say he can forgive sins? Why does he eat with sinners? Why? Oh, man, have y'all ever had, who has a chihuahua in this room? Raise your hand. God bless y'all. I think that's how they named them, you know. Some Mexican guy said, "What are we going to name this dog?" They said, "Cha-cha-wa-cha-cha-cha." Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. And just stuck. And all of a sudden they became named Chihuahuas. Chihuahua-wa-wa-wa-wa-wa. Because, man, that's what I think. I think of these people surrounding Jesus going, "Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. What about this? What about that? What about that?" Man, my kids do that to me and it drives me crazy. "Dad, what about this, Dad?" And they don't do that. Dad isn't as big a name as Mom. You all know that. I don't even know how moms live with it. You know what I'm saying? "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom." I get to the point where, you know, when they start looking at me, I just go, "Mom." You know what I'm saying? These folks never gave Jesus any rest, any credit. They threatened to take his life. Y'all know the last time you had somebody threaten to take your life, but it's not pleasant, is it? They threatened to kill him. They picked up rocks to hit him with, but it wasn't his time, so it didn't happen. Finally, they figured out, we need just to arrest him, turn him over to these Romans, and let them take care of our dirty work. Y'all, he overcame police brutality. He overcame standing in front of a corrupt court system where the judge, jury, and executioner said, "I find no fault in him," still conceded to put him on the cross. Here's my point. You want to overcome the trouble that's in the world? Get in Jesus. Because he's overcome it. You know what else he overcame? He overcame death. Jesus sure enough died. There's a philosophy out there that says Jesus didn't die. It was just like a hologram. It was a spiritual thing. And they juked him off the cross and they threw Judas up on the cross. And No. Anybody who read the Bible knows that can't happen. If you're going to be a sacrifice of God, you've got to be pure. See, Jesus came for those 3.5 years so they could watch him, so they could interrogate him, so they could persecute him and find out that in everything he was pure, he was holy, he was a sacrifice worthy of God, acceptable to God, holy and acceptable to God, offered up to God for our sin. And y'all, he has overcome even the death, even sin. All things he has overcome. You and I are only going to overcome as long as we're with him, if we're attached in him. But can I tell you something, y'all? If we look in the world, Jesus tells us what we're going to have. In the world, you will have tribulation. If you study the world, you will have tribulation. But if you study the Word, and you're in Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is in you, and you're walking, and you're nourishing that relationship with him, you can have peace in the midst of the greatest troubles in this world. You can have peace. Y'all, we come from a rich tradition of Christians who have laid their life down for the gospel's sake. And I'm going to tell you something. They didn't go to the gallows, and they didn't go to being drowned, or they didn't go to being burned at the stake, and they didn't go to being decapitated or shot in the head like many of them have been in our modern times. Look up modern day martyrdom. They didn't go kicking and screaming, y'all. They went singing hymns and praising God. right from the book of Acts, there was this saying, we've been counted worthy to suffer persecution for the name of the Son of God. And they went singing and they went praising. Y'all, trouble's not going to stop from this world, but you can have peace, you can have good cheer, and you can overcome the world in Christ. We're going to close. I want you to hear about a church. Instructions for a church in the book of Romans chapter 12. A church that is filled with the Word, that is filled with the Spirit of God, that is following God, that has not given in to His desire to fight or flee. And I tell you, after I got angry, before I got in the Word, after I got angry, I just got despairing and thought, why not quit? Why am I? I felt like a sucker. Like you in this world, trying to do what you think is a good thing. This world don't want that. This world don't want what you offer. I remember going into Parchman Penitentiary. And as I was going in, a guard stopped me. And he says, you know what you're doing in there? I said, yeah. He said, they don't want that. They don't want your message. They don't want your Jesus. They just want your food, your cookies, and they want time out of their zone, off their unit. They don't give anything about what you're going to say to them. They don't care anything you're going to say. You know what I said to them? I said, man, you think no one wants it? What if one does? What if somebody does? But I said, further than that, what if it's not about them and it's not about you and it's not about me? What if it's just that God wants me to go? Wouldn't that be enough? See, I remember a time in my ministry that I wouldn't quit because it wasn't about the people and their response, but it was about God and His command. It wasn't about the people and their response, it was about God and His commission. And it wasn't about, well, they'll listen or they don't listen. That's not up to me anyway. If you're not in it for God, eventually you're going to do what I did last week, and that was quit. In my mind, I quit. I can make a good quiet living somewhere and just say, why am I standing out speaking for these things, man? Why I can go somewhere where it's just mellow. Man, why would I be constantly feel like I'm gotta fight and gotta do this or run for my life? Why not just quit? Somebody else will say something about the Lord. Somebody else will stand up and proclaim. Somebody else will do something. I just quit in my mind. I was discouraged. You know the Bible actually says don't be discouraged? Now, discouraged and depression are different things. I ain't talking about depressed. I'm talking about discouraged. You know, when I got discouraged, I stopped looking at the Word and feeding on the Word, and I was looking at the world, and I got discouraged. I think I need to repent of that. But I'm going to tell you something, church. He ain't called us to quit. He just hasn't called us to quit. He's called us to overcome. Listen to the description of this church. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through the end. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the low, with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give peace or give place to the wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Y'all, God has not given up the vision of His church being a body of overcoming people. God has not given up the ground and the territory of His church to say, fight or flight, give up all these things. He's saying, church, look at me. Get in my word. And just as I overcame the world, you can too overcome evil and not be overcome by it. You can walk with me. You can fulfill the command that I've given. You can know peace in the midst of the storm. Remember that story of Jesus napping when the storm was going on? And the apostles just losing their business. You know, they was just, ooh, don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care? We're going to drown. We're getting swamped. The storm's all around us. What did Jesus do? Peace. Be still. What did they do? It listened. Y'all, what we need to do instead of being angry or fearful, we need to get ourselves lined up with the one who can say, peace, be still. That's where we need to be. That's how we overcome. Church, He has not revoked our commission to be an overcoming church that takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. And if you thought you lived in a Christian country where there is not a lot of people who need to hear the gospel, I pray that the little bit of TV time you watch will convince you otherwise. We have a mission field in this place. You might say, John, it's scary and violent. Okay. Follow Him. He overcame the world, He overcame death, and He'll do the same in you. But we have a commission from God, not from man. And we ought not take it lightly, and we ought not just use our own understanding. We ought to submit to Him. Amen? Hey, don't be overcome by evil. Overcome evil by good. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You, Father, for being willing to forgive us and forgive me, a preacher who allowed himself to be discouraged. And Lord, I pray that You'd continue to bring me out of that funky place. Because it's not good. It's not You. It's not overcoming. It's really quite the opposite. And so, since You've come out of the grave, I'm coming to You, Lord, because of Your power, not because of my own, but just because I'm going to submit myself to You, my rabbi, my teacher, my leader, my Lord, my God, my King. You're all those things to me. So, Father, I pray right now for all of us as a church that we would be determined to follow You, that we would be just as convinced and convicted as anything to follow You always. And, Lord, as a result, who knows what kind of things we may face, but we can face them with peace on the inside, good cheer on the outside, and the hope of overcoming overall because You've overcome. So, Lord, help us. Fill us, lead us. We're Yours and we love You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything you need to do, maybe you found yourself hating your brother or sister. Maybe you found yourself caught up in discouragement like I was. Maybe you're here today and you would say, well, I don't really have that kind of connection with Jesus where I think the peace that He offers will come into my life. Maybe you need to be connected to Jesus. Or maybe you're connected to Jesus and you need to be more submitted to Him. This is your time. For y'all who, if anybody's here, and you'd say, I don't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Just want to quickly, this is what the book of Romans, we were just there, verses 9 and 10 in chapter 10 say this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes on the righteousness, it's an inside job. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Y'all, that's not ambiguous. That's not a puzzle to figure out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Him as your Lord, and you'll be saved. By what power? His power. Gospel power. Okay? There was a man who was in dire straits. He was ready to commit suicide. And he asked the apostles, what must I do to be saved? And the apostles, in an urgent moment, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. In other words, faith in Christ not only saves you, but saves everyone who puts their faith in Christ. Does that make sense? Don't go through this world. Don't go through this world defeated. because you don't know Christ, because the afterworld you'll be defeated also. You'll be separated from Christ. Give yourself to the Lord today through faith. Okay? All right, it's your time.
But that thy
Listen, we're going out there. We're going out there. I feel like we're... Man, it was D-Day yesterday, the anniversary of D-Day. For everybody who served in our country's military, thank y'all. I can't imagine the strain and the stress of that. And But as we go out there, thankfully it's not the same. But spiritually, believe me, as a war. There is a war spiritually. Go armed in Christ. Go get in the Word. Don't be overly influenced by the world. Pray for each other. Mike hadn't asked me to say anything. Pray for Mike Curry and his family. Mike lost his dad Thursday. And so pray for them. Just continue to pray for them. There's a lot of things during this time, too. We haven't had a lot of time to grieve and do the things that we normally would do. At every funeral I've been to so far, I've said these two things. One, this is less than they deserve. You know, when we're gathered up together, it's less than they deserve. You know, because they're told we can't have a service, we can't do this, and we've been put out. And the second thing I said, it's less than what you need. Y'all, grieving is a process. Just about everybody you know is probably grieving something somewhere. It might not be the death. It might be a loss of a job or a loss of a lot of things in our time. A loss of a relationship, a loss of a house or a car or hopes or dreams or whatever. But y'all, be patient with one another because we're all grieving something somewhere. Okay? And the way we've been doing it is less than what we need, which that puts it incumbent on you if you're grieving to search extra in the Word of God. Get extra in there because you need it more when you're hurt. Okay? When you're hurt, you need to heal more. And so just keep those things in mind. I can't think of anything else. We're not passing an offering plate around, but if you want to give, there is a plate going out the big exit door. And back there, you can just drop it in there. And if anyone steals from the plate, you'll be going straight to the hot place. I don't know if that's theologically true, but I just like to throw that out to every once in a while. Hey, when I was teaching Bible classes, we'd have a test, and I'd say, you can cheat, but anybody cheats on a Bible test going straight to Hades, man, going straight to Hades. It's not true, but anyways, nonetheless, there's a plate out there, and you can dump it in there. I can't think of anything else. The youth are scheduled to go on a trip still. Thursday, we're hoping. We're going. We hope we're going. Thursday, they're going to leave. It's going to be a big old group. Centrifuge got canceled, but Jamie got on it, and Jamie and his helpers, I'm just going to say, I'm not sure who all it was, but found the Ark, that Ark experience, the Ark and Creation Museum just south of Cincinnati out there. And so we're hoping that it's open, but the some of the cities to get between here and there might not be in the best regard. Anyway, so we're just going to see how that goes. Pray for us and wisdom in our travel. Wednesday night, we're going to have church, James chapter 3, looking at the part about wisdom, okay? Godly wisdom versus not godly wisdom. And it's good for you to know so you can recognize your own mistake, not necessarily judge everybody else, but recognize your own wisdom and then recognize when people are trying to talk to you, are they operating from real wisdom, okay? Come, that'd be 6:30 Wednesday. I can't think of anything else, but I love y'all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Ready, break.